Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller and Davis Rangy punching the time clock at 6:04. May or may not have had to copy that from Russell Smith. Sorry, I was around the guy for a full year. It's what I do, man. Everything that I've learned from Russell.
It's all right. It's a good person to learn from, at least.
Yo, most of the good people here start on the drive. Adam Hickman, me. You spent a little time with us over there.
For a short, very, very short amount of time. And then I had to stop, and now I'm here with Jake. So, but that's how I met Jake. So good did come from that.
Everything good comes from Russell.
Exactly.
And Bear is probably pulling his hair out right now.
Screaming at his radio.
He probably is. He's probably about to call in any second now and just start going ham because that's what Bear does. So one of the things that started coming up more and more today, we heard a little bit about it over the weekend. People are saying that Deion Sanders is one of the premier candidates for the Georgia Tech job. Problem with that, they got to get an athletic director first.
Yeah. They're kind of in the same boat as Auburn. Both those schools about to fire their coach, and neither school has an athletic director, which is wild.
Yeah, that's a weird one. Another thing that's happening this weekend, of course, Tennessee has their bye week. If the Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have to relocate because of Hurricane Ian, it will be played in Minneapolis.
I saw that. I mean, it doesn't really make sense geographically, but I guess Hurricane can't touch them up there.
That's true. Florida has moved their game as well. Miami has moved their game. A lot of teams have had to move their game because of Hurricane Ian. And you know what really sucks about this hurricane?
What?
It's been politicized.
Yeah, you talking about some of the COVID comments?
Some of that. I'm talking about some of the people saying, oh, well, why are we using pronouns with hurricane names? Why do we have to do that? Listen, guys, bottom line, it's a natural disaster. People are going to lose their lives. People are going to lose their property. People are going to lose their homes and have to relocate. They're going to be displaced civilians. And it's sad that good people, you know, go through the worst of crap every day and then people like that get to just live their best life.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, I've seen some of the clips on Twitter today. I haven't, like, really watched the news or anything. I haven't had a split second today. But, I mean, they had that one clip of the reporter. I think he was in Fort Myers, maybe.
Yeah.
The same place where there's sharks just swimming everywhere. But this dude is, like, reporting, and he's literally getting blown away by the wind, and a tree branch just comes to, like, smacks him in the leg. Like, tangles around his leg.
Right. I mean, and not to mention, you know, as far as a sports aspect, you know, obviously that goes to the back burner. But you look at when the Pelicans had to relocate, back when they were the Hornets, had to play in Oklahoma City for that entire year.
Yeah. That's a good comparison. Also, it kind of tied into Chris Paul wanted to, because I thought he would want to buy out from OKC, but he did spend a year there when he was with the Pelicans. And it's not really a natural disaster related, but when the Raptors had to move to Tampa, which is now ironically where the hurricane is hitting, they had to go to Tampa for a year because of the COVID rules. So it's wild to see.
It really is. It's wild to see. It's crazy to see. And it's, things that we don't really take into account much at all. And, you know, my buddy, he was supposed to go down to Destin this week, the one that just got married. They were going to go on their honeymoon. And they booked an Airbnb. They refused to refund their money.
Whack. I'm supposed to go to Fort Myers next weekend, LSU weekend. So we'll see if that happens.
Might be able to get you an update on how things look down there. I've got some sources there. But Airbnb, do better. I don't want to use you all again anyway because of the bad experience that I had finding a cockroach in my shower down in St. Augustine, Florida. This thing was as big as my fist. had to throw a Gatorade bottle at it, and it still moved. So I left, and I didn't go back for another 6 hours.
I wouldn't go back at all, probably.
No, what else am I supposed to do?
Go to a 24/7 gym. Get a shower there. You'll be all straight. There's no cockroaches there, at least.
Yeah, that's a plus. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop on with us this evening. Let's get Fake Bob in here. What's up, Fake Bob?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Not a lot, man.
Yeah, I haven't obviously been able to call in because of personal reasons.
Absolutely. We're still praying for you, buddy.
Prayers.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. But going back to the Florida game, I went back and rewatched it a couple times, and it looks like our defensive line has taken a step forward, and our linebackers are still hit or miss, but, man, our secondary is it's awful. I mean, I'm just going to call it what it is.
And that seems to be the consensus with everyone, you know, that we've talked to, you know, around the station, everyone that's called in. Of course, John Dunn, our guest, he hit on that last night. So, I mean, that's pretty much just across the board. Everyone thinks that that is our biggest weakness right now. And there's a reason that we've got so many guys committed, you know, at that position, is because it's like, hey, Tim Banks is probably going to their house being like, listen, you see what I'm dealing with here? Do you see what's going on the field right now? You will probably get to play as a true freshman if you commit to Tennessee.
And that's still what the crazy thing is, man. If we had a average secondary, we would, like, really be a contender for the East. But I think the secondary is going to cost us two or three games this year at some point if they don't get better about it, because the defensive line is doing what it's supposed to. Yeah, there's still some things they can work on. Like I said, the linebackers are hit or miss, but it really just kind of falls back on them.
No, and you're 100% correct. And, I mean, the recruiting pitch that I would give right now to an elite defensive back is I would sit down with him and his parents and say, you see what's happening right here, and do this after a loss, obviously. Like, do it after Alabama if it's a close game and our defensive or our secondary costs us the game. You look at that recruit, you look at their parents, and be like, you see that score up there? We are you away. You are the missing piece to what we're doing right here. And if you commit to Tennessee, you're most likely going to start in year one. And you're going to be the reason that we get over this hump and get back in to the conversation of being an elite football program.
Exactly. And I'll leave on this note. With that being said, obviously we know that there's probably not going to be a change after this year. But with the recruits coming in, if our defense still struggles next year, do you see Josh Heupel moving on from Tim Banks? And I think I'll listen.
Appreciate the call, Fake Bob. I don't – that's a hard one to judge, but I think if you don't see any improvement, like, you know, Fake Bob said, I think you keep him another year. But if we don't see any improvement after next year, that's when you might start looking.
I totally agree. I was thinking during Fake Bob's call right there, you know, this bye week, it comes at a great time for us, the whole program, everybody, the fans, the team, the coaches. But if we don't see, like, any kind of improvement, I'm not asking for a top 10 secondary in the LSU game. I'm just asking for an average secondary. And if we don't see kind of like a little bit of improvement, I'm going to be like very worried about the rest of the year.
I mean, that's the thing is, like, at that point, you start worrying about teams like Kentucky. You don't necessarily worry about South Carolina, Missouri, mm-mm, Vanderbilt, teams like that, but I think you do worry about teams like Kentucky. Because, yeah. I mean, the fact of the matter is, Will Levis, yeah, he probably is a little overrated, but he's still a decent quarterback.
And he does have a cannon. And
he did put up 42 points on us last year.
They're still talking about him being a number one pick. I saw today it was
an
article.
About that.
That's, I mean, he has the body. The main thing they're going off is his body type. He's 6'3", like 230-something pounds. But they're trying to make a comparison to Josh Allen body-wise, which is hilarious. But, I mean, they have the same body, but not the same player.
I mean, that's the thing is, like, you can compare Joe Milton to whoever you want to compare him to, but the fact of the matter is he's still got some stuff he's got to work on, and it seems like he has improved since last year, but there's still a long way to go with that.
But, okay, so my question for you about Tim Banks is, let's say – you know, for some reason, our defense gets even worse, and the rest of the year, like, every game just gets a little bit worse and worse and worse, and we end up going like 8-4 because of our defense.
You got to get rid of him.
Absolutely. I'd maybe even 9-3, just depending on how it looks. I mean, we could score 70 points and win 70-65, but like, I don't think that's a good recipe for long term and trying to build something with that.
Well, no, that's like when West Virginia, I think it was 2012, they were putting up 70 points, 60 points, whatever it may be, but it was because they had to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the thing is, if they didn't score those points, they weren't going to win.
Right.
And that's something, you know, last year, I don't think Tennessee wanted to be in those games where it got into the 60s or where it got into the, you know, 50s, whatever it may be. That's kind of like, take Alabama coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want that game to get into the 40s if we want to win. I'm not saying we will, but you do not want that game to get into the 40s.
No, because if they're in the 40s, that means you're definitely losing at that point. But Alabama's defense, I looked at the numbers yesterday, they've been great. And, yeah, it's going to be troubling if they're in the 40s.
That it is. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. On Overtime Fan Run Radio, Billy Stats has chimed in, basically saying that Tim Banks has a pretty difficult task, and he's got a good point, saying that the reason our defense is the way it is because of how fast we go on offense. And I get it. I really do.
But, I mean, another thing you have to look at is, I mean, let's just say, I don't want this to happen, but let's say you do pull the trigger on Tim Banks this offseason. Who are you going to get to replace him? I mean,
that's the thing. Is who you going to get?
Yeah. Billy Stats just made a good point. I feel like it would be very difficult to get a top-end defensive coordinator to come just because of how fast we run our offense. And you get a three and out, I mean, you're only looking at maybe 30, 40 seconds off the actual game clock.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you look at Pitt, we get the ball, an immediate three and out. I don't think we even took 20 seconds off the clock.
No, let me see real quick how much time that took because, yeah. Same thing with Alabama last year down there. We went three and out, very first possession.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with this offense is we do run the risk. Why is this microphone so far away from me? We do run the risk of quick three and outs, which puts your defense right back on the field. And unfortunately, a lot of those times, you don't have any time to rest. Now, you know, every time that we would kick an extra point last year, we had a lot of fake injuries on extra points. Notice it was always Jackson Lampley that would go down after an extra point, basically just to give the defense some more time to rest.
I mean, it's pretty smart when you think about it. It's a loophole they haven't fixed yet, so you got to take advantage of it. But we did take 21 seconds of game clock off at Pitt.
Oh, wow. I was almost right on the money.
Three straight incomplete passes.
Three straight. Oh, man. And that was just such an ugly first quarter, too.
Yeah, that was miserable. I mean, I was thinking about it yesterday. If Trayvon Flowers doesn't come up with that interception in the end zone, we could be staring at 2-2 right now.
I mean, that's the thing is we could very well be 2-2. That happens or in addition to that, you know, Anthony Richardson doesn't get pressure on that last play because Westchester made a really good point yesterday. If you go back and you watch the film, nobody. I mean, he was wide open. He just couldn't get it to him.
I'll give Tim Banks credit for that. I mean, we've seen he is very aggressive at times, and I agree with pressure on the quarterback on a Hail Mary situation like that because if you rush like three, maybe four, I mean, you're giving him time to look around, go right, go left, and you lob that ball up there, my heart would have stopped.
I'd rather put pressure on him, you know, send five or six guys, you know, get your guys back in the end zone and then just have them play. Just don't let them behind you.
Exactly.
That's the biggest thing. Just don't let anybody behind you. That's the key to a play like that. But Kamal Haddon, I think it was Tamarian McDonald, as well on that side of the ball, they let that receiver get right behind him, and neither one of them were paying attention. Both of them were playing the ball.
Same thing with Pitt. I mean, that last play to end it in overtime, we dialed up pressure, but had you not dialed up pressure and Nick Patty hits him in stride, you're looking at a touchdown. Maybe they go for two to win it right there. So, yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing that I was concerned about with that was it just seemed like it was going to happen because we've seen this movie time and time again, and now it's like there's an alternate ending. It's like, okay, now when does this alternate ending go back to the way we know it?
Yeah, and
when does it go back to the original?
And Roger made a good point. I was listening to the drive right before I got here. He asked if they think we're finding ways, we're learning to win now instead of we just found ways to lose. But like as a program as a whole, we're learning to win again, and that's a big step because for 15 years now we've just learned to lose and lose and lose all the close games. And that's another thing we haven't talked about. Heupel so far this year is 2-0 in one score games.
And that's key. You'd rather be that than to be like Scott Frost.
It's improvement from last year because what were we? Did we even win a one-score game last year?
Kentucky.
Okay, so one in what? Pitt, Purdue, Ole Miss. I think that was it. So you go from 1-3 to 2-0 right now.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think, man. We were close. Everyone's like, oh, well, you were close to going this and this and this year. But it's like, you know, last year we could have easily been 9-3. You're a fingertip away against Ole Miss. And you're a bad call against Pitt away. And then the Music City Bowl. You're a bad call there away. Like, you could have won 8, 9, 10 games last year. But we found a way to lose. And like you said, we're now 2-0 in one-score games this year because we found a way to win. Now, granted, the Florida game
shouldn't have been.
It shouldn't have been that close. Like, we very well should have covered the spread and not let them score with 17, 16 seconds to go, however many it was. But, you know, we did. But at the end of the day, we still came out with a win. You know, bettors aren't happy, but really, who gives a...
You know what?
About the spread. Thank you. We won the game.
Yeah, that's the only goal, right? I mean, and he'll improve. Heupel, I just mentioned he improved in his second year, learned how to win close games, and I think now that he's in big boy football, not in the AAC anymore, he'll learn you got to keep your foot on the pedal. I mean, I mentioned that. I think it was Friday. Daniel called, and I told him, I was like, when we get up big, I don't want to play not to lose. I want to keep going, pouring it on. And I thought he would, but he played a little conservative, and I think that could have killed him. But thank goodness it didn't, and he'll make some improvements. I'm not too worried about that.
You know, it's funny. I barely remember any of the Friday show.
I don't know if it was Friday, but it was last week. I remember talking about it.
Because when we, of course, did the live show, of course, everyone that was there knew what was going on. You know, we had some technical difficulties, couldn't get connected to the internet. So we basically split up the first half of the show.
I didn't even see Jake or Lowe.
For an hour?
Yeah, for the first hour of the show. I was on the back patio at Hops and Hollers. Great outdoor space, by the way.
Just hanging out with T-Carp.
Cool. Yeah, me and T-Carp are back there on one of the just a little chairs back there. We're talking, and yeah, it's just like summer days back on Skype.
Mm-mm-mm. Thank God we got Russell Smith and that jetpack down there when we needed it.
Hey, but we persevered, right? That's all that matters. We found a way, just like Josh Heupel found a way Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you just adapt to the situation, you overcome it, and that's what Tennessee does. That's what we do here. But going into LSU, I'm not ready to declare victory yet. I'm just not there with it yet. And, of course, it's so weird because given the history with Florida, I was all in. I'm like, yeah, we're going to blow them out of the water. We're going to win this ball game. We didn't blow them out of the water, but we won the ball game. But, you know, I'm not ready to declare victory yet. I'm going to look and see what LSU does this weekend, I guess, just to get a feel for what to expect.
Yeah, not like although Auburn has not looked the best, this is not a game. It'll be physical, even though Auburn's not very good. It'll be physical, and LSU definitely has to have been prepping for Auburn all week. Like, it's not like they can take one or two cycles, be like, all right, let's do some Tennessee prep. No, they have to look at Auburn, because if they lose that game, it could get ugly for Brian Kelly, despite – because I think he's kind of made up some goodwill by winning three straight after losing FSU, but you lose that Auburn game, they're going to be right back on you.
They are, and you got to think Brian Harsin at this point is fighting for his job.
I don't think he really has an option. I think he's gone either way, but yeah.
There's weird comments yesterday, I guess it was, from Lane Kiffin in regards to the Ole Miss fans. We're going to get into that when we return. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio. Overtime continues. Lane Kiffin. The more he goes away, the further he goes away, the faster he comes back. Back to his old self. And the reason we bring him up right now is because he's getting tired of trying to draw fans into Vaught-Hemingway Stadium down at Ole Miss. Said he goes through the tunnel and it feels like he's at a high school stadium, at a high school game.
Can I play the clip real quick?
Go ahead. He doesn't cuss in it, does he?
No.
Okay, good.
You know, when you come back out and you run out the tunnel and it looks like, you know, a high school game, playing in the college stadium, you can't let that affect you. I mean, you know, there's psychology to that, obviously. There's a home field advantage for a reason. And, you know, when it goes the other way, you kind of have that feeling, you know, that, man, are we still really playing in a game here? You know, the players have to fight that. So, again, we use that as a learning lesson for our guys. So, if that's the case, that's the case. But, I mean, I'm worried about what I can control. I've tried social media in here for 2 years, so, you know, we'll worry about what we can control, and that's getting our players ready to play.
Interesting comments there. Kind of went with a PJ Fleck reference there. I'm going to control what I can control. You know, the whole row your boat thing that PJ Fleck does, that's basically what it is. It's control what you can control. Now, in regards to Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, he will stay there as long as he can win. But the thing is, the next big school that wants to hire him is most likely going to get him.
And here's the deal.
Auburn.
There's no question that he definitely wanted our job back when we were looking to hire somebody after Pruitt.
He would roll through glass.
Walk. He would crawl here.
Absolutely.
Excuse me. Crawl. Not walk. Crawl.
Like, I think he realizes now that he's matured, how much of a colossal mistake that was for his career leaving Tennessee.
Yeah, he right in 2019, I think Chris Lowe wrote the article for ESPN right after we had lost to Georgia State and BYU.
Mm-hmm.
He had said that leaving Tennessee was his biggest regret in his coaching career because he didn't know how good he had it made, and he always thought USC was his dream job, and turned out the grass wasn't always greener on the other side.
No, and especially with what was going on at USC at the time. I mean, they were under NCAA investigation. They just got those sanctions dropped like right after he got there. And that was a class, of course, Tyler Braid committed under him. But you were going to get receivers like Markeith Ambles, you know, guys like that. And the funniest thing about that story that Chris Lowe wrote, and I'll never forget this story. They were down at Alabama. And all of a sudden, Ed Orgeron just comes through, grabs the projector screen, and just slings it against the wall. Monty Kiffin slings a chair up. He said, I called the University of Tennessee because we're going to be here another night when we beat Alabama, and we're going to eat Dreamland ribs and crash their bars. Whole crowd, or the whole room, just goes nuts.
Fun times here with him, but, hey, I mean, I think
– you never knew what was going to happen.
No. But I do think it's kind of interesting that these comments were made at this time. You know he had to be watching. I know he had a game he had a game against Tulsa at the same time we were playing, but you know he looked and saw the highlights, and he probably even watched the game when he got home, Tennessee, Florida, seeing that crowd and seeing the environment. Like, word gets around. So, I don't know. You know he's jonesing to get out of there. We talked about it during the break, but he would not make these kind of comments unless he was looking to leave.
Right, and I don't think he can win a championship at Ole Miss.
Absolutely not.
I don't even think you can get to Atlanta at Ole Miss. And I've got plenty of friends that went down there, that went to school there, and I think you do as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, guys, listen, I know you love Ole Miss, but you're not ever going to get to Atlanta there. You're never going to get back.
They're about as delusional as Memphis fans. They think that they're on level with Tennessee and other programs, but they think their little 10-2 season, which is like the best they'll ever be last year, and they still only made it to the Sugar Bowl and lost. But, yeah, I mean, we've all seen the pictures, but like the student section, like even during the Tulsa game, I mean, that was a one possession game. They won by one touchdown Saturday, and my buddy stayed, but like there's maybe 50 people in that entire student section.
That's just pathetic.
And their complaint is the sun. It's too hot.
Dude. Oh, my goodness.
They want to move their student section to the other side, the south end zone, where there's shade. Sounds like just typical, like, Ole Miss prissy pot.
There's this thing called water. You open the bottle cap up. You put the mouth of the bottle into yours, and you drink the water. You hydrate. There's Gatorade for that as well. Get you some electrolytes. They have this thing called Gatorlite. You can drink that and rehydrate. It's got all the electrolytes you're going to need. Guess what? People do it here. People do it at Alabama, at Auburn, which I think is where Lane Kiffin will probably end up. It's either going to be him or Hugh Freeze. I don't think they'll go after Jamie Chadwell yet.
Urban Meyer.
They might go after Urban Meyer, but the thing is, Urban Meyer is only going to take a job if the talent is already there and he doesn't have to work too hard to recruit. That's why he took the job at Ohio State. Yeah, that's why he took the job at Florida. You know, that's the one thing about Urban Meyer that not a lot of people want to bring up is the fact that he went to these programs, but, I mean, there was already so much there.
Ferrari, all of them.
Absolutely. And Josh Heupel has walked into a mess, and he's took chicken crap and made chicken salad out of it.
And Auburn, they're kind of like, I don't know. I would say they're a little. They definitely will be a little bit better off than we were after Pruitt. But
thing is, you can recruit to Auburn.
Absolutely,
you can recruit to Auburn. You can recruit. I don't think Mike Norvell's in trouble anymore. But I mean, if he was, I mean, you can recruit to Florida State.
He's a fraud.
He is a fraud. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, he's actually winning ball games. He's got Florida State ranked for the first time, and I couldn't tell you how long. Probably since Jimbo was there.
Probably since we were ranked this high last, 2016.
That's probably.
I mean, maybe in the beginning of the season with Willie Taggart, but once the season started, they just always started a downside.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with Florida State. You know, Mike Norvell, I mean, he beat LSU.
I don't care.
Granted, it's Brian Kelly, and Brian Kelly, I think, is a fraud, just like Jimbo Fisher. But fact of the matter is, they're still winning ball games. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. Sitting here watching Hurricane Ian make landfall. Oof. Prayers up to the people of Florida. Goodness.
Oh. Watching the camera for I-75, and it's like, I don't even know. It's awful.
Yeah, and one of the things that we were going to talk about today was games that involve really bad weather, and Tennessee's had a few. 2017 LSU, that one was really bad. And also a game that didn't necessarily affect the Tennessee game when this happened, but it affected the rest of the tournament. And something happened in this game that probably saved the lives of thousands of people. And that was the 2008 SEC Men's Basketball Tournament in Atlanta at the Georgia Dome. I know Mississippi State was one of the teams. I can't remember who the other team was right off the top of my head. Surely an alert listener will let us know. But the game goes to overtime. And overtime starts. Oh, my goodness. There's a car driving on that interstate. Don't do that, folks. Anyway. So, game goes to overtime. All of a sudden, the screen just like flickers for a second. And then it pans up to the catwalk. And there's a guy standing on the catwalk at the Georgia Dome swaying back and forth. Luckily, he's okay. Was okay. I hope he's still in good health. But had that game not gone to overtime, you would have had thousands of people going out onto the streets of Atlanta. And that probably saved their life.
I'm confused here. So this guy was on the catwalk.
One of the camera operators.
This was in, where was this?
2008 at the old Georgia Dome.
Okay. And was it, was he like trying to jump off? I'm lost.
No. Like he was one of the camera guys for CBS, ESPN, whoever was doing the SEC tournament at the time. But he was one of the camera guys up on the catwalk because, you know, they have the crowd shot going down into the crowd. And the tornado hits. Tornado hits Atlanta, and it basically strikes the Georgia Dome.
And they had no idea.
They just heard a rumbling. They said it sounded like a train. I know somebody that was there when it happened. He was sitting in the crowd, and he said it just sounded like a train came over top of us, and I knew right then and there that it was either a really bad windstorm or there was a tornado. But they look up, and this guy that's operating the camera on the catwalk is just swaying back and forth like the entire catwalk is moving from side to side. And it's like, oh, my goodness, that is scary.
Oh, yeah.
So they complete the game, and they end up having to play the rest of the SEC tournament at Georgia Tech.
Interesting.
So everyone that bought tickets, I don't know if they got refunded or not, but the way the rest of the SEC tournament worked, and this was the year that Georgia was a major underdog, ended up winning.
Cinderella story.
Pretty much. And the only reason that those people are still alive is because that game went into overtime. But only players and players' families and coaches' families were allowed in at Georgia Tech because they didn't have, you know, concessions or anything at the arena. They were basically bringing what was available from the Georgia Dome over to have concessions there. And they were kind of worried because, of course, it's Georgia Tech. There's not SEC logos all over the place. There's ACC logos. Yeah. So they were like, oh, well, I wonder if this is going to do anything. And it's like, okay, if it is, it is. But bottom line is we have a tournament to play, and we're going to play this tournament.
I'm trying to think.
That's part of the reason why they have a new stadium down there as well.
Yeah, because I've always wondered why they replaced the Georgia Dome, because I went in the 2007 SEC championship. But – yeah, the new stadium there is crazy. It's super nice. I haven't been to a game there yet, but I've driven by it at night when there's no one there, and it's beautiful all around.
I've not been to the new one. I went to the old one for the 2002 Peach Bowl, in which Maryland just mollywopped us.
Mm.
I know somebody that remembers that game. Let's go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Phil, standing by. What's up, Phil?
Why is there Jack Smith?
Philly!
Are you in Davistown?
Pretty good. Just talking a little bit of classic basketball.
Yeah, I was down there at the day of that game watching. I think Tennessee beat South Carolina, and we were on a bus trip and we're going back to Knoxville. I mean, it was nice, and then the tornado coming there right at, you know, Alabama was playing somebody.
Mississippi State.
Yeah, sure was.
Yeah, that's who the other team was. I knew it was Mississippi State. I couldn't figure out the other team.
But then I moved to the Georgia Tech to finish the tournament. Like Georgia won the tournament.
Yeah, that was the year that they were Georgia was not a good basketball team, and they, as soon as they moved it over to Georgia Tech, they went in there and they won it.
Yeah, sure did. And that was a real good Tennessee team, you know, did a typical folding, you know, SC tournament.
That's just what we did at the time.
Oh, wow. Y'all were talking about the – what was that y'all was talking about in the first hour besides the – y'all talking about the down in Florida? Is that what you was talking about? The the hurricane?
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that. And then we were talking about how if Tim Banks doesn't get it straightened out by the end of next year, that Josh Heupel might be looking for a new defensive coordinator.
Well, he is their highest-paid assistant, isn't he?
I think he is.
Mm-hmm.
So, be interesting to see what happens. I hope he can get it done. Really, a coordinator, you'd have to pay a coordinator a lot of money to come here, considering what we run our high-octane offense. You know the defense is going to be on the field two-thirds of the game.
I think, yeah, I mean, you would have to pay somebody a lot of money. And the only real issue, Phil, is our secondary. And that's why I think we got a lot of guys committed at that position, because you got Tim Banks, Rodney Garner, and all these other guys going into the recruits' living room and saying, look at this. Like, look at this secondary. Everything else is complete. We're missing you. If you commit to Tennessee, most likely you're going to play as a freshman, and you're probably going to make an immediate impact. And that's why you need to come to Tennessee.
Well, I like what they've done for the commitment so far this year. They got three safeties and three corners line up, and they're still recruiting defensive backs, so they know they got a problem over there.
That they do, and it's one of those things I don't even think we're worried about our offense at this point because, yeah, we've got Nico, who's five-star. You've got a couple of four-stars, but at the same time, Phil, it's like you could roll a bunch of three-stars out there. They're kind of like what we're doing right now. You can just roll out with a bunch of three-stars and put up 50 points.
We need a running back.
We do need a running back bad.
Yeah, we need a real good running back. And I think the receivers are all right. It wouldn't hurt to have a real big receiver to go with McCoy for next year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just get a big old hoss out there. Just go up and get it.
Although I saw that kid they got committed from North Carolina as a four-star now.
Nathan Leacock, yeah, he got upgraded to a four-star. He's one of the top 300 now in the country.
And we had, 50 players over here during the Florida game. I guess multiple years of football recruiting, but, you know, I'm sure they were entertained by it.
Oh, we've got crystal balls coming from everywhere right now. You had a lot of kids that had a lot of fun on that trip.
Well, I mean, Knoxville's a happening place whenever they're winning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the key is if you're winning ball games, that atmosphere is unlike anything else in the nation, and you just got to take advantage of it, especially on weekends like that where you have a rival coming into town. It's a packed-out stadium, sold out. You're Checker and Neyland. You know, whether you like the gimmicks or not, recruits love that. But I'm just glad this weekend, Phil, that we did it in the orange and white and we didn't have to go with a gimmick uniform. Per se.
Yeah. Aren't they talking about wearing the gray for the LSU game?
Oh,
have you heard that?
I've heard about it. That would be probably the best smack in the face that you could ever think of, and I'm here for it. I hope they do it.
Has Tennessee just lost one time in the gray uniforms?
No, we've lost to Georgia. We've lost to Georgia again. We've lost to...
The Adidas Smoky Grays lost to Georgia. That was a Pig Howard fumble.
Lost to Vanderbilt.
Did we?
Yeah, because we wore the grays against Vanderbilt that year and lost.
Last year at Butch, 2017.
No, it was 2013, the Adidas ones.
Oh, yeah. Good memory.
I don't know why. Let's go black and let's get rid of the Butch Jones crap. You know what?
I mean, I'm all about it.
I mean, black's a better looking color than gray anyway, wouldn't you think?
I mean, I think it is, and I think the problem with Nike is they went almost too dark with the gray.
Yep.
You know, Adidas had the color right. They just couldn't get the helmet to match it.
Yeah, it's almost black, isn't it? I mean
it pretty much is.
When you sweat, it is.
That's why it'd be hot to wear it, too, especially if you got the sunshine.
Oh, down there in Baton Rouge, right at high noon. Whew. Now, we'll say this. I really like the helmet they did with the dark mode uniforms last year. power tee with a black outline. Now, I like that a lot.
Well, I like to see a black helmet with an orange tee. I think they really look good.
I wouldn't be opposed to it, that's for sure.
Apparently, they have one ready.
Yeah, they got a black helmet ready. Now, they had a chrome helmet, but it did not look good once they got it out in the sun. Yeah.
I even heard they had an orange helmet, but it one not shaded orange.
Yeah, that was the chrome helmet.
Oh, that's a chrome helmet?
Yeah, they took it out in the sun, and it did not look good. They said, nope, send these back.
Yeah. What's the best game this weekend to watch, Kentucky and Ole Miss?
I think that's probably your best game to watch. Ole Miss is favored in it, but
it's at noon.
It's at noon, and Lane Kiffin is not happy with his students, Phil.
You think Ole Miss will win?
I don't know if they'll win or not. I think Lane Kiffin's trying to find his way out after his comments that he had yesterday or the day before, whenever that was. Well, but he's not happy with the fan turnout at these games. Feels like he's walking into a high school game, he said, when he runs through the tunnel.
All they care about is going to the Grove and dressing up and drinking. That's all they do down there.
I mean, I care about drinking and dressing up, Phil, but I'm still going to the game.
Well, yeah.
I look better than any of them anyway.
Oh, I don't think Ole Miss has won the SEC championship since Johnny Vaught, so that's, you know, shows you how much they care about winning down there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is you can't get to Atlanta at Ole Miss.
I mean, they had two Mannings and couldn't even win an SEC. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I mean, that says a lot.
But we got an open date. I'm glad we're resting up and get everybody back. What, any word on Tillman?
I've not heard any word on him, but I saw him walking after the Florida game on the field, and he still hobbling.
Had a boot on.
Still, yeah.
Still hobbling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least getting back for Kentucky. I don't want him to play against Alabama because I'm afraid to get hurt for the year against him.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, Phil, if you sit him against Alabama, you still got those three receivers in Brew McCoy, Ramel Keaton, and Jalen Hyatt that can still make things happen. Now, I don't think we'll win the game. You know, get me a few beers in me the Friday before, I might tell you otherwise. But right now, we just need to make sure he's healthy for everything post-Alabama.
Well, you must have some beers in you praising Russell on the first of the show. What was that all about? See
you. I knew that was coming. Sometimes, Phil, you just got to appreciate the guy that gives you the opportunity. Stay with us. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two of overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.